what we've been doing the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've been unwrapping the biblical narratives about the birth of Jesus. And today we wrap up this series by unwrapping our last Christmas package or passage. Sorry. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, please turn there with me. We're going to begin reading in verses 25. Up to this point, we've talked about the shepherds and the angels and how in the city of David in Bethlehem a Savior has been born, which is Christ the Lord. We've sang songs about all of that. Well, after the birth of Jesus, you know, the Christmas story wasn't finished. There was more that we can talk about, and that's what we're going to be doing this morning. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25, and before I read verse 25, let me just establish some of the context in these particular verses. It's approximately 8 days after Jesus was born. Joseph and Mary have left Bethlehem. They've arrived in Jerusalem. They're at the temple. They're there to fulfill the customs and laws written about the birth of a child. And while they're there, we know that Jesus was circumcised. There was also a purification offering that was performed. There was some other things left to do, though. They were going to present him to the Lord. They were going to offer a sacrifice. And so I want you to see that. And so we're going to pick up the story in verse 25. So they're at the temple with Jesus. Here we go. Follow along with me, please. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had been revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. And he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." And Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Then verse 36. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly, for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. And there the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was upon him. And Lord, we thank you for this passage. Once again, teaches us about this true gift of Christmas, about Jesus. God, I pray that you would help us to understand this morning what you're wanting to teach us here. God, help us to apply the things we learn to our lives. Thank you so much for helping us unwrap and really, really see the true gift of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. So from this passage, there's three things I want to show you today I thought that are really, really awesome. They've inspired me this week as I was preparing this message. Hope you'll go ahead and take out your note sheet. Prepare to write some things down. As you go through this message today. So first of all, I want you to see that it's stated that Jesus is the Savior of both Jews and Gentiles. The Savior of both Jews and Gentiles. And I'm certainly glad for that because we're not Jews. At least I don't think you're a Jew. I think we're all technically Gentiles here. And so that's really, really good news that salvation would be accessible to us. I want you to look at verse 30 for this first truth. Simeon, he's speaking to God really in this prayer, and he says in verse 30, "I have seen your salvation." Salvation, we know, belongs to God. I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. Again, salvation is something that God planned, that God put together. It's not anything we can muster up on our own. It's God's and it's His plan. He says, I've seen it, and you prepared it for all people. Verse 32, He is a light to reveal God to the nations. And He is the glory of your people, Israel. And there is two separate things that's being stated right there. He says it in a general way in verse 31. I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. Then it gets real specific in verse 32, talking about Gentiles. And then in verse 32 as well, he talks about that last part, the Jews. Again, he's describing salvation and how it is both for Jews and Gentiles. And it's interesting here because Simeon, obviously a Jew, he mentions Jesus being a light to reveal God to the nations first. Before he mentions the glory of your people Israel, I mean, most Jews at that particular time didn't like to focus too much on these ancient prophecies that the Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles or that they would be a blessing to other nations themselves. They like to focus on the Jewish nation themselves, but yet Simeon here mentions it first. I think that's pretty significant. And obviously he has in mind this prophecy that was said in Isaiah chapter 49 verse 6, which said that again, that he would be a light of God to the nations. This prophecy about the Messiah that he's stating here, to reveal God to the nations. He's also called the glory of the people of Israel, and certainly he is. Now, unfortunately, the Jewish people as a whole don't see Christ as their Messiah, but we know the Bible prophesies there is coming a day when they will believe on Him. And they will see Him for what He really is, and that is their glory. And so what a wonderful thing about Jesus, that He is stated to be the Savior of both Jews and Gentiles. And that's a wonderful thing that God would make salvation available to everyone, Jews and Gentiles. Now, secondly, I want you to write this down from this passage. I think it's really awesome. I want you to notice the prophesied response of people towards Jesus. Some, it said, would find joy in Jesus. I remember what the angel spoke of. Remember this great news that would be for great joy for all people. And some would find joy in Jesus. Others, however, would fall because of Him. Simeon tells us here that hearts would be revealed. He also tells us that Mary's heart would be broken, that a sword would pierce through her very soul. And we know that this is even prophecy. In Isaiah 8, it's prophesied that some would fall because of the Messiah, while others would rise. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. There would be no neutral ground with Jesus. People would either joyfully accept Him, or they would reject Him. And it's said right here that Mary's response would be one of a broken heart. Again, prophesying of what was to happen to Jesus and how Mary would respond and feel towards it. And I think about this statement here as far as how people respond today. It's still the same. Some find joy in Jesus and others fall at His name. And so there's this response that we see in this passage. Number three, I hope you'll write this down. We also see that Anna and Simeon, they serve as wonderful examples for us today. And this is kind of where I want to camp the rest of this message, because I really like their example that they set for us. I want you to notice here in our passage that in verse 36, when Anna hears of the Messiah, when she overhears Simeon talking to Joseph and Mary about Jesus and claiming Him as the one that God has sent, the salvation, she rejoices. She celebrates. And certainly, like Anna, we should celebrate the Messiah's coming. We do that at Christmas, but we should continue that throughout the rest of the year. We should celebrate it. I want you to also know that in our passage here, we're told that Anna tells everyone about Him. Do you see that there? She hears about the Messiah, and then she goes out and tells everybody about the Messiah, that He has come, that the Lord has finally began His great plan of salvation. And certainly this is something that we should do as well. We follow her example in celebrating the Messiah's birth, but we also follow her example in sharing the news with everyone. It's not just the shepherds and the wise men who shared, but it was Anna and Simeon as well. And so we follow her wonderful example. I want you to also see that like Simeon and Anna, they waited for the Messiah's coming. They waited patiently. And certainly, while we don't wait for His first coming, because He's already came, we wait in anticipation for what? His second coming. And we wait with patience, and we wait with hope, knowing that just as He finally came the first time, He will finally come a second time as well. And so we follow their example by waiting, while telling everyone about Him, while praising God for His coming. And I also like this. You remember Simeon when he saw the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit revealed to him that this was the Lord's Christ, the Lord Messiah? He said to himself, "Now I can die in peace." Y'all remember that? Y'all see that in the passage there? And I think, listen, when you truly see the Messiah and you understand who He is and God reveals that to you, now you're prepared to die. Prepared to die with peace because you've seen Him and you understand again who He is. And I think that's a wonderful example for us today. And you need to ask yourself that, have I truly seen Christ? Has God revealed Him to me? Because again, when you experience that, then you're at peace with God and you can die. And you don't have to worry and be afraid. Next, I want you to see Simeon here. When he realizes who Jesus is, he takes Jesus up in his arms and he lovingly holds on to Him. Again, realizing that He was all that he had hoped for, all that he had waited for. And in a figurative way, I wonder if there's been a time in your life where you really taken Jesus in your arms and you really grasp and lovingly hold on to Him, realizing He is everything you need. He is everything that you hope for, that you could hope for, that you could ever dream for. And again, I just love that. As I was reading this passage this week, I was just thinking to myself, how awesome is this? That He would respond this way to Jesus. What an example to lovingly take Jesus and hold on to Him. Again, I think that's a great example that we should follow as well. Again, think about the example where they waited for years and years and then God finally revealed Christ to him and there was a great time of worship as well. And the scriptures tell us that Simeon and Anna both worshiped when they encountered Christ. And again, this is something else that we should do to follow their example, and that's to worship Him. Again, it's not just the shepherds, it's not just the wise men. It's Anna and Simeon that set this great example for us as well today. And we should continue to worship Him. And I also wanted to point out here that notice while they waited, that didn't mean they were doing nothing. You notice they were in the temple and they were serving and they were seeking God and they were worshiping God and they were growing in God. And so as we wait again for Christ's next coming, we want to wait not by doing nothing, by being involved and being faithful and rejoicing and serving and worshiping Him. And so as we think back to the things that this passage teaches us, what we can really unwrap from this passage as we think about just the wonderful examples that Simeon and Anna provide for us and how we should follow in their footsteps. And then also we think about how that Jesus is both the Savior of the Jews and the Gentiles. And then we think, secondly as well, is of the response that people have towards Jesus. And that's where I really want you to just think about as we wrap this up this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? I want you to think today, believer, what is your response towards the Christ that's come? Is it similar to what Simeon and Anna were doing? They celebrated. They rejoiced. He was fulfillment. All they could dream for and all they hoped for and all that they had longed for and all that was promised, this child was the fulfillment of that. Know the joy that filled their heart. And I think about this morning, God, everyone that's here, and I think about how easy it is to get trapped in all the commercialism of Christmas and the hype of Christmas and to lose sight of what it's really all about. To let this holiday pass, God, without really taking a moment. Think about what our response is to be towards Christ. And I thank you so much for this passage, Lord. Thank you so much that we can learn from it that you are the Savior of all mankind, both Jew and Gentile, God. It's those who call upon you, believe and receive you, experience the benefit of your salvation. And God, you're not just the Savior of Jews only, but thankfully of us as well, of Gentiles, and we praise you for that. And God, as we think about how we can respond to you this morning, Lord, throughout your life and still today, there are people who fall at your name and reject you. And there's other people who find joy in you. And I thank you that I'm in a room full of people who found joy in you. God, I just do pray that we would follow the great examples of Simeon and Anna. They show us how to respond to the Messiah. They show us how to serve Him, how to follow Him, how to love Him, how to honor Him. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many say, Pastor Corey, the truth of the matter is that I've been kind of sidetracked this holiday season. And during Christmas, I've not been able to focus on Jesus. I've not focused on Him. I've been caught up, and I don't like that. Now, I want to focus in on Jesus. I want to focus in on responding the proper way. And really, I want to follow the example of Simeon and Anna from what we've seen in our passage today.